First up this morning, though, we're going to be bringing you a story, a remarkable story of going above and beyond and saving a life of a four-year-old child with severe asthma. Not only that, but severe asthma and autism. David Costello, on Saturday night, got into severe breathing difficulty at home in his home in Carrolake. And following the heroic actions of a number of the people who work in our health service, including paramedics, on the night, he was saved and brought to UHK. He's now at home. His mother and father, Naomi and Simon Costello, contacted us here in Radio Kerry because they wanted to thank the people involved in coming to their aid at what was a very frightening time for them. Yesterday, I spoke to Naomi Costello and first of all asked her to tell me what had happened and when they first noticed something going badly wrong with their son, David.
So it was on Saturday and we had been out to the local SeaFest and we came home and my husband shouted for me that our little boy wasn't breathing properly. He suffers from asthma and he was having a brutal, very sudden asthma attack. He couldn't catch his breath and he momentarily stopped where there was absolutely nothing. There was no air moving. And I had to call for an ambulance at that stage and they advised me from there how to go. But they stayed on, they were giving reassurance and letting me know that they were organising help and sending everything our way. Within 10 minutes, a car pulled up and we had this lovely guy called Shane Buckley who was off duty. He heard the priority one call go out over his radio and he responded.
So he wasn't part of the ambulance, he wasn't even working, but he heard the call.
He was off-duty paramedic who lived locally, I understand, to us, and he heard the call go out and he just answered the call. Absolutely an amazing angel just stepped in there, came in and took over. And from there, he waited with us and stayed with us and helped us through until the crew were able to get with us because they were actually en route to Kenmare to serve Cork and they had got halfway down the Muckross Road when the call came in and they turned around and they came straight to us on blue lights.
Okay, so they were actually going, was this the only ambulance available at that time?
It was.
And they were heading in out of Killarney on the way to Kenmare.
They were heading for Kenmare, yeah.
Okay, so they could have been further down the road, just it happened at that time. And they turned around to you, you're near Carrolake, is that right?
We are in Carrolake, we're very close to the national school there, and they blue lighted it to us. It felt like a long time, but I was told it really, really wasn't. My husband said it was actually really, really quick.
Okay, and how was David during this period? Had he regained breathing or was it just still...
He wasn't responding. He was, his eyes were closed and his eyes had rolled to the back of his head. And
my God.
We shook him. I shook him and screamed at him. And he obviously could still hear me somewhat and just took a tiny little breath. And we kept going like that until Shane arrived with us and took over. And by that stage, the medication that was going in through the nebulizer was starting to work.
Right.
And whatever he put in that nebulizer, it just brought him back. And then the crew came and they were fantastic and took us in.
That was Greg and Adele.
Greg and Adele. Yeah, absolutely amazing. So the child is actually autistic as well.
Okay.
They were so, like, so not only were they trying to deal with his breathing and his care, they also took into account of, is he okay with this? Will he be all right with whatever? Will we turn these lights down? Are they too bright? Will he be all right with this? Just the understanding, it was above a level that I've ever come across. They were just amazing.
Because of his autism, the sensory issues, the noise, the lights,
absolutely,
all of that would have been an impact on him.
It would have been so frightening. Like, and obviously, like when they came, he was just starting to come to and come with it, and it would have been a little bit overwhelming for him.
Yeah.
But they were so good that he actually coped with it, and we got through this.
So where did you go from there? The ambulance took him to Tralee.
The ambulance took us straight to Resus, injury, and he was actually really good. He'd responded to the medication by the time we arrived. They put us up on a ward around, I think it was like 3:30, 4 in the morning. And he's home with a lot of medication, and he can't move around. We're giving him the same medication that they would have been giving him in the hospital, but the medication makes him hyper. So right. We have to keep him still, because right. Even just walking to the toilet, it makes him breathless. So we're trying to really keep him still. It's quite difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And he's 4, and there's only so much he understands about what's going on.
Exactly, exactly.
That's what I'd imagine. But yeah. You got great care in the hospital as well to make him feel at ease.
Yeah, yeah, also good. Just, wow, yes. But I think it was those initial responders and the paramedics, they were the most... I've never had to call them before. And their expertise and their understanding and knowledge and caring attitude, it just jumped out at me. And I thought, how do you say thank you to these people? Because... honestly, it just hit me afterwards, the magnitude of what they had done for us. We just sat there shaking with the shock, but going, they just saved him. How do we say thank you? So we just wanted to reach out and be able to say thank you to these people. You made such a difference.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely incredible. Like they've obviously got the top training. But it's just absolutely. The way they handle it as well as people, and the fact that Shane went above and beyond, heard the call, happened to hear the call, and just dashed to try and give that initial crucial assistance as well.
Yes, yeah. That absolutely hit me as well, the fact that he was off duty. He'd already done a day's work, and he took this as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Naomi, how are yourself forever and Simon grateful. Coping, I suppose? That, as you said there, you must have just been in fight or flight mode. And absolutely. The adrenaline pumping before you got some reassurance that he was going to get through this ordeal.
Absolutely. I don't think we're over it yet. We're absolutely still kind of a bit shell-shocked. It was so sudden, it just hit us. We haven't had time to take it in yet, and wow, that just happened.
Yeah. Did you know something like this was a possibility with his autism and his asthma?
No, not as bad as that. He does have bad asthma, but we never had it where it was that this is happening, this is right now, have we done something wrong, you know?
Yeah.
We hadn't done anything wrong. It was just, he just became very sick very, very quickly, and there was nothing we could do. It was out of our hands. Normally we would have time to make our way to South Dock or the hospital or whatever.
Yeah.
This was out of the question. This was beyond us. We couldn't do anything.
And that's where you're relying on the ambulance service, you're relying absolutely. On the health service to come to the rescue.
And they went, they just, over and above our gratitude to them. Thank you, guys. You were all amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. Naomi, hopefully he as you said, he's still on medication. Probably more tests to be done. So hopefully he will continue to improve. Is that the hope?
Absolutely. We just, like, this may be a possibility that this could happen again, but we've got him on a stricter medication regime, and we just hope that that all does its thing. And we avoid this.
Has he said anything about what happened? And being in the ambulance.
It was scary. I was very frightened. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it, really. He hasn't really said anything else.
Okay.
But it would probably come out later on.
Yeah. And imagine your family and friends all absolutely delighted with what was done for you.
Absolutely. I rang my mum in the middle of it. I need your help. She had to come and get the other 2 children, and she took them home as well. And the poor children, they thought their brother was dying, and I think we all did.
They're young too. You've 3 children.
Yes, they're all on the autism spectrum, so it was even more frightening for them. It was very traumatic.
We're all
kind of trying to settle down, and he's okay.
Okay.
We'll be okay, you know?
Well, look, Naomi, yourself and Simon, you're very good for thinking of it at this time to thank the people who were involved, because you've a lot to be going through and all of that. But I think it's great that you did come forward to say what you have said, because like the health service gets criticism for mismanagement at times and delays and waiting lists and other things. But there are people every day who are working in it who do these amazing things. So it's good to recognise it.
Proud of what we have. Thank you so much to them.
Okay, Naomi, thanks so much for talking to me in the programme.
No problem.
That's Naomi Costello there from Carra Lake, telling that incredible story of what happened and what unfolded on Saturday night and the brilliant response of our emergency services. We were hearing the story there of Naomi Costello and her son, David, and the severe asthma attack he got at home on Saturday night. And the first to respond was Shane Buckley, a paramedic who was off duty at the time. And he's with me on the line along with Eilishni Cochnea, CEO of the Asthma Society of Ireland. And Shane, listen, first of all, good morning and thanks for taking time to talk to us about this. And listen, well done for your swift action on Saturday night. Can you tell me about it?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Eilish. I was at home on Saturday evening and I received the text alert from the control room, the National Emergency Operation Control Room, which outlined that there was a call of that nature in the vicinity, and I was able to go when I did. And look, thankfully, it all worked out for David and Naomi and Simon are telling their story now. But it's just relative to the service. When you need it, it clicks into gear, and thankfully. Yeah. Everything worked out for David. That's the most important thing. That's the priority.
What sort of training do you get, Shane, for situations like that? Normally, you wouldn't be off. You'd be with an ambulance. You'd have a colleague with you, but time didn't allow it this time. But you come into all sorts of, by definition, emergency or urgent situations in the course of your job.
Yeah. I suppose, look, our training is very, very extensive. It's third level training, and there's degrees and everything at the end of it. But the job itself, you pick up on the road, and the assessment process identified where the problem lay, and that then in itself guides you as to the treatments thereafter. And again, in this case, thankfully, it worked out.
Yeah. How quickly were you able to get there? About 10 minutes from where you live?
Roughly. I think it was about maybe 6-7 kilometres from home. So by the time I got in the car and drove out, it was about, I'd say, maybe 10 minutes. And when I got there, you could see that David was in a very, very challenging position for himself. And I was delighted to see Greg Toomey and Adele Jennings coming in the door when they did. So, like you said, we'd normally train to operate as part of a crew. But the process of assessment and treatment is still going to remain the same for every patient. And that's where the training kicks in, your muscle memory. And, you'll always strive to do what's best for the patient. And I find it coincidental that today is actually the World Health Organization World Patient Safety Day, and it's centered around kids this year. So it's a great opportunity to push it.
Yeah. And you knew, obviously in the situation, he couldn't breathe. He was struggling badly to breathe.
Yeah.
Nebulizer, medication, try and stabilize and wait for the ambulance to come.
Yeah, basically just keep him going. There were other pathways that were open to me should the initial treatment not have worked, but thankfully they weren't necessary at the time.
Yeah.
And I was delighted. I didn't know up until this morning that David was actually home, and I was delighted to hear that. So big shout out to David and Naomi and Simon.
Yeah. And you mentioned Greg and Adele there as well, and Naomi making the point of saying that the care and the sort of consideration once they found out that he had autism, to try and tailor the way they were taking him to hospital by turning off sirens and lights and just, again, probably another part of your training, but just remarkable in that sort of emergency to think of that.
Look, every patient is a person and every person has their own stressors. And if there's things that we can do to alleviate those stress levels, it makes our job easier at the end of the day. And in that regard, it's the right thing to do. It's the humane thing to do. You look at a patient and I generally think, what would I like done for a family member in this situation? And you just, at the end of the day, Jerry, we're all people. We're all humans like that. And if you're meeting the ambulance, it's generally because you're having a bad, bad day. And there's no need for us to make it any worse. So if we can alleviate stressors and ease our role going forward, then all the better as well.
Yeah. And look, it's a job in itself, I'd imagine, to be able to reassure parents in a position like this, a four-year-old child struggling to breathe. That's part of the job as well, I suppose, Shane.
It is. You recognise that, the parents are most likely in a very hugely challenging situation emotionally. It's one of their loved ones. And the normal urge of a parent is to protect and nurture, and we don't have that ability in that particular situation. So, of course, it's going to be very upsetting. Another part of it, if we can calm mom, dad, siblings down, it leaves our patient as well, because they're going to be reading the room as well, so to speak. And if anything we can do will make it a little bit easier for the patient and those around them, then so be it. And that's what needs to be done. It makes our life easier then as well at the end.
It certainly does. Shane, well, look, well done again, and fair play for doing that. You work in Galway, is that right?
I do. I'm a paramedics and tutor in the National Ambulance Service College in Ballinasloe. It's one of three colleges that the service has nationally, with the fourth hopefully coming online early next year. And it's where we prep the students for life on the road.
Yeah, so, and you volunteer as an off-duty responder as well. That's obviously something you'd be keen to encourage people to get involved in.
Well, yes. The National Ambulance Service has initiated a number of different schemes and initiatives, one of which is for the service members that are off-duty. We can sign up and get text alerts of incidents in our area. Also, the CFRA groups that are national as well are another initiative that was set up and coordinated by the Ambulance Service in order to mobilise first responders to a scene prior to the arrival of Ambulance Service personnel.
Yeah, very important role as well, and we've talked to a number of them on the programme as well. Shane, stay on the line. Eilish Ní Cáithnia, good morning to you, and thanks for talking to us on the programme this morning. A remarkable story from Naomi and from Shane there as to what happened on Saturday night.
Good morning. Absolutely. And although, Shane, I know, it's your training and your job and that, your colleagues, it's still an absolutely incredible thing to do, and certainly on your time off while you're off duty as well, to hear that and respond in that way. I just think absolutely amazing. And as Shane said, the fact that David is okay is the absolute priority, and the fact that David is home. So that's all very good news.
Yeah, it certainly is, and how it occurred like that. And as you heard from Naomi's interview, this was their first real experience with a severe asthma attack. There are people out there who are living with this all the time, Eilish, and I know the focus today on World Patient Safety Day will try and increase awareness of it.
Yeah, and thank you so much for doing it. And probably, so asthma attacks to that level, are relatively rare among the asthma population. Most people with asthma should actually be able to live their lives completely symptom-free, apart from maybe the odd, little flare-up, depending on, whether they have hay fever or, they develop a virus or they come into contact with their particular triggers. But absolutely, asthma attacks and fatalities from asthma attacks are all possible. One of the things I thought coming on this morning that I should mention to your listeners is that there is a process that you can follow if somebody is having an asthma attack. And now, while David had become unresponsive and was going in and out, largely speaking, the symptoms of an asthma attack are what you would expect. It's difficulty breathing, it's coughing potentially, you know, your lips, the lips or the tips of the fingers may start to go blue, and one sign is difficulty finishing sentences, difficulty speaking. So if you know someone has asthma or you see somebody with those symptoms, you can then follow the five-step rule. And what's critical then is that somebody has their medication always on hand. There are two types of asthma medication, and it's the blue one actually that most people are most familiar with, the blue inhaler. That's the one that's needed at an emergency. And what that does is it's referred to as a bronchodilator, the type of medication, and it opens up, it dilates the airways, and that's what you're doing. You're buying the person with an asthma, with asthma, who's having an asthma attack, you're buying them time by this fast, using this fast acting reliever inhaler to open up their airways. And if people would like to know the five-step rule to managing an asthma attack, they can contact actually our the Asthma Society. So you can contact us either via our website on asthma.ie, or we have a WhatsApp number, and you can text that WhatsApp number and a nurse will send you what you need. So if you want the five-step rule on your phone, so that in case any of your loved ones have asthma, or any of your, you know, your friends or colleagues have asthma, that you'll always know what to do. We have a really simple, easy to follow graphic. So if you want to text 086, if you want to text 086-059-0122, you can do that, 32, excuse me, you can do that, and we will pass on the infographic, and you'll then have that on your phone. You can send it to your to teachers, to colleagues, to the grandparents, so that everybody knows what to do in that instance. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important to make yourself aware, and obviously, as you said, have that medication, which the Costellos had, so then Shane was able to act straight away and intervene in this case.
That's it, exactly. So the nebulizer that Shane used, which is a piece of equipment, contains that same medication among some other medications, and that's what's, you know, keeping you breathing and keeping you alive in the period between the asthma attack starting and the emergency services arriving. So really, really critical. And then it's equally important to say that actually asthma is an inflammatory disease. It's inflammation in the airways. And so actually what people need in order to keep the asthma controlled is what's called a preventer or controller inhaler. Often it's brown or yellow. But there are now new inhalers that are called combination inhalers that have both the reliever and the preventer in it, so the bronchodilator and, importantly, the steroids. And it's localized steroids. It's relatively low amounts, but that's what tackles the inflammation in the airways. So if you're taking either your combination or your preventer inhaler regularly, then that's keeping the inflammation low. And if the inflammation is low, you're at much lower risk of ever having an asthma attack. So that's really critical. There's a whole period before you ever get to the point of being in the situation that David ended up in. And I'm delighted to hear that he's now on new medications.
Yeah, that is brilliant to hear. Well, listen, Eilish, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us about that this morning and about World Patient Safety Day in the context of asthma. And Shane Buckley as well. Listen, thanks very much for all your work and all your service, and well done again for that intervention on Saturday. And thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Well done, Shane.
That's Eilish Ní Cathnaithe, CEO of the Asthma Society of Ireland, and Shane Buckley with us on the line.